I'll be reading from John chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. That's John 15, verses 8 and 9. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Terry and I think you got the seat that Sarah's got a remote control back there if he turns you on it. And I with you, I appreciate the opportunity that I had tonight. And my friend that died a couple years ago said sometimes having something to say is different than having to say something. So I kind of have something to say tonight that I'd like to share with you. I'm a little nervous because Sarah is back. I know I didn't expect her to be here. But I feel like I'm with family here, so I'm not feeling too bad about it. I need your help. I need you. I need you to help me get to heaven. And I think this is a place to be for somebody that needs to help to get to heaven. And I have a feeling that you need me too. As John read, my Father is glorified by this, as he's speaking, that he bears much fruit, and so proved to be my disciples. We are to bear fruit. Together, we need to bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so, I'm going to talk a little bit about just two of those, love and joy, tonight. Jesus gave us a new command, that we love one another. Even as I have loved you, he said, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So we are to show forth our love to the community so people will know that we love each other and take care of each other here. And I feel that we do that. We do love each other here. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. I want you to admonish me if I need it. Get on me. You got my permission. There's some words for admonishing, and then one is also to exhort, call to one side, and then another one to warn. It's a little bit more intense, to exhort with tears, as in Acts 20 and 31, when Paul was speaking to the Ephesians there. The first one, 2 Timothy 4:2, says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Reprove and rebuke are pretty clear cut in the Greek. Exhort has those two meanings. It can have those two effects in different words that are used. And I don't know Greek. I'm just telling you, I've got a program on the computer that I can find, use Greek words and find the interlinear, which is the English word compared to the Greek word. I want you to encourage me too. The word for encourage is such as in Titus 2, 4, and 5 there, is that to teach one sober. And that is where the older women are to teach one, encourage the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. And I thought it was kind of interesting to teach one sober, but to hold one to their duty is also the meaning of that word. In Hebrews 10:24, that's probably pretty small, I know. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, King James. So we're considering how to motivate each other. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, as to the New American Standard. And as New King James says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So I want you to provoke me. You have my permission to provoke me. Okay? Provoke is a good word. It's okay. Now, there's two words in the Greek used for provoke. And it, one is provoke to jealousy or wrath. That's to provoke the Lord to jealousy or wrath. And that's in the verse used in 1 Corinthians 10:22, probably the best place to look. The other one is not with wrath, but you still are inciting someone. It's an incite or an irritation. Now, that scripture, the Hebrews 10:24 scripture, provoke one another to love and good works, uses that one. And I thought it interesting because the same word used where in Acts 15:39, where it says that speaks of Paul and Barnabas separating because of the contention that was so sharp between them that they just departed from asunder from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed. So that same word is used to incite or a little bit of an irritation, but there's no wrath involved. So I thought, finally, something that I begin at. So, that's what I want you to do to me, too. It's a little bit of an irritation sometimes, and somebody provokes you to love and good work, but we'll take it as done out of love. Won't you help me be part of the church, just like the first century church? That's kind of small, too. You read this, too. And the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him with his own, but all things were a common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds to the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each if they had need. And it talks about Ananias and Sapphira on here. Later. But look at the mindset there. You know, I've been in the church 40-some years, and I've not heard very many sermons about distributing property like that. And in America, I don't think you're going to hear things like that, but the mindset is to share. A major mindset is to share, and I know we have that mindset here. That little sign back there demonstrates the sharing of this church, $10,000 shares. And I'm testimony that I received that when I was at Cleveland Clinic for those of you that weren't here 14 years ago. And it demonstrates the love that you all have for your fellow Christians. Well, Kyle, you can see everything. You can see people that aren't paying attention. Okay. But I think if you preach that exact way, they, you know, remember old brother Morocco would have took the guy out the rail, he'd be taking me out the rail if I preached that, you know, we're going to divide all our goods up, sell our property, and everything. So, but I think that's the mindset, that it was a sharing mindset. And I know, I see that here. I see tremendous generosity here. Acts 2:42. They would continue to exerting themselves in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the breaking of bread and prayer. That's what we do here. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place for the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to the number day by day those who were being saved. I think, Kyle, you mentioned about that supper club earlier, and that was a good thing. I'll say that when you take meals together, it disarms you. I'm in the B club, okay? I met the president, the new secretary. He's been in there for a while. I'm kind of stern, nice fella, and I needed to talk to him, so I met him at Spencer the other day for breakfast. And by the time we were finished, we ate that meal together. By the time we were finished, I felt like he was going to be a good friend. Okay? There's something about eating a meal together that makes a big difference in communication, in getting to know people and just being friendly and knowing what their needs are. You know, we meet each other here, shake hands, hi, how are you, fine. But we don't really spend time with each other like we probably should do. And I'm guilty. I'm very guilty of that. I can count on one hand how many times I've been at somebody's house and made a meal with somebody in this village. Okay? And that was Kevin and Wendy Curry. When they invited us to make care of him first came here. We had other invitations though. And I'm going to say, I didn't reciprocate with that, and I felt bad all these years that I didn't reciprocate and have him come over to our house. But we need to do more of this. And also, when we get into talking about studying with people doing evangelism, studying with people, it's not a bad idea to do it over the table. I mean, I had Mrs. Burgess, the lady the father that taught me, she made some banana split pie. That opened me up too. I mean, opened me up to be very receptive to what they were saying. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the faith, practicing hospitality. So, hospitality should be done without hypocrisy. And the word hospitality, the two words, I don't know if you're talking about hospitality tonight. I hope I'm going with it. We talked today, and we stole a lot of my thunder here earlier today, and we think, you know, the Lord must really think that we need to love this today. I don't know. But we see that a lot. Is showing love to strangers. It was a big Jewish thing that they needed to show love to strangers and show hospitality. That's in Romans 12:13. And hospitality has got the elders. Requirement to be an elder was the hospitality, generous to guests. Okay, that's what that one means. And I see it always back here greeting people all the time. So as Christians showed hospitality, as we read, Mary, remember when Mary washed the Lord's feet with that excessive perfume? She showed hospitality. Martha, you know about Martha. Martha showed hospitality, but he says the lesser, and Mary says the better, didn't she? And then Lydia, who urged Paul after she was baptized to stay with her in her house. You know that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, as it says in Romans 14:17, but righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. And there's one another's command. One another's command. Consider one another. Growth to love and good works. Prefer one another. I should prefer you, and I should look out for what's best for you. There's a book, Jordan Peterson, he's a clinical psychologist from Toronto, wrote a book on the 12 rules for life. Okay? One of the rules is choose somebody that wants the best for you. Okay? Be your friend. So, I think that's a good policy. I think that's a good thing for life. I would want the best for my son, and I would want the best for my grandchildren. So why wouldn't I want the best people that would want the best for me to be my friends as well? So that's, I think, a good policy. Forbear one another, just like you're doing right now. Edify one another and comfort one another. And I see that a lot, that comfort. When people need this church, people in this church, they go out in their way to comfort. And of course, there's many verses that say about loving one another and serving one another. You know, when Jesus ascended on high, he also descended in the lower parts of the earth and induced some of the apostles and some of the prophets and some of the evangelists and some of the pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. You know, when Rodney was here, he preached a lesson on the work of the church. And I was so enamored with that lesson. I put it on the board back there, and Kyle, you alluded to it this morning. The work of the church, evangelism, benevolence, and edification. But when I think about it, I'm not so entirely sure that it's just that. I think it's the work of service. It's service in any way that we can provide service for our fellow Christians and fellow man. The reason I'm not so entirely sure, and I could go into more detail on that, is because Jesus gave the great command, the great commission before the church was established. That's one reason. And also another reason I think is that evangelism is a personal responsibility. It's not mentioned in the Revelation. It's not mentioned in the church, the letters to the churches in Revelation that they weren't good evangelizing. So I think personally that evangelism, I can't hang my hat on that, but I think evangelism is a personal responsibility, and I don't know that it bears up as far as the church as a whole. Although we have culpability, as we've done it, don't we? When you look at those letters to the churches in Revelation, not the letters, but the discussion of what they were doing right and wrong. So we have a little culpability amongst each other for what goes on here. And forgive one another, and I know that we'll get at that here too. The second one, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let's talk just briefly about joy. And I need to share more joy in my life. And disciples, just reading some of these, disciples were continually filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. And of course, James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And I'll tell you something that's helped me. When I spill something, I go, yeah! That helps. Yeah. I just messed up. Yeah. Here's to it all joy. Sing for joy to the Lord, O you righteous ones. Speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. I think we need to share more joy in our family. I'll come right out and say it. I think that we need to be more joyful. I'll just tell you up front here. I've decided I'm just going to leave things with reckless abandon. I'm not going to try to be as perfect, because I know that I can't be perfect at the fall later. I'm just going to leave things with respect to enticing joy in myself and enticing joy in this group right here. And also, I'd like to say that I'm going to try, when it's praise song to God, that I'm going to try to read all the verses of the song, because I think God deserves the honor of all of what we can give Him, because if we are giving, it is the offer, the sacrifice of our lips. And don't have time to look at it very much, but look sometimes at Malachi chapter 1, talks about the priest. He would complain about, oh, how tiresome it is. And, if we have that attitude that, we sing all the verses, how tiresome it is, and I don't want to have that. I don't want to be that way. I want to give the best to the Lord. And if you look, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. We should be able to see, back then, they didn't have songbooks, and they sat around and sang. And they saw each other's faces probably more than two faces forward. We don't get to see each other's faces too much. But we need to share some. I always go back to the church that I was raised in. I was 18 years old. And I would see people smile, And I would see when that'd be an invitation song, there'd be people looking like that, So I just think we just need to have more joy in our hearts and a sense of. A joyful heart is good medicine. So we need to do the best we can. And I look at children. I've had the benefit of being around kids at church camp and see how they participate BBS, see how the kids participate. You want to see joy, look on the kids' faces. That's what Jesus said, look at the kids. Look at the little children that come to me. Such is the kingdom of God. So look at the kids. Let's show joy in what we sing. You feel irritated? Then look wrong. And lastly, I'd like to read something. This isn't from me, this is from somebody else. What if we took the one another command as love one another, serve one another, give preference to one another as seriously as the thou shalt not command? What if we realized that passively listening to less than 3 to 4 hours per week and being there every time the doors are open does not constitute being an active member of the church? What if we assumed the very serious task of being responsible for the spiritual well-being of people in the church family? What if we embraced God's strength in our weaknesses by regularly confessing sins and fearing our struggles? What if we dropped the perfect facade and got to know each other, others' lives beyond the superficial, how are you doing, just you, just conversation? What if we took seriously the command to be hospitable? What if we measured success by how many people we equip and send rather than how many people sit in the pews? What if Sunday was less of a time to come to worship and be done and more weekly reunion around the Father's table? What if we were willing to put every non-biblical tradition program, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, order of worship, etc., on the table and view it for its value in carrying out the mission of being pleasing to God? And what if we really did love each other in the same extreme sacrificial manner that Jesus loved the church and treated each other accordingly? That's from a book by Jack Wilson. So I need you. Huh? Yeah.